if you're from the medical community, it's not just having clinical knowledge and it's not just being the smartest doctor in the room that counts in a situation like this. I mean, you need a whole additional set of skills, crisis management, the ability to work fast, the ability to sort of make decisions in split second time, even quicker than you probably might in terms of something more normally you might do on a clinical level. And then just the sheer emotional content of what's being thrown at you, the psychology of having to deal with tens and hundreds of sick patients. If you're working in, you know, a hospital in New York City, it's got to be overwhelming. And I think there's ways you can better prepare, particularly doctors, for these kinds of events. But there's no way until you truly go through it as a physician, for example, that you can really know what it's about.
I'm sure somewhere there are smart heads of medical departments at universities saying, we've got to rewrite everything. Once this clears, what do you think med schools are going to start to focus on in the very most basic levels?
Well, you know, as we know, medical schools are really slow to change anything. They've sort of had the same model for decades in the United States, for a century, if you really go back all the way to the Flexner Report and the early days. But hopefully, I mean, you know, you look at the first 2 years of medical school, which traditionally is all about basically sitting in a classroom and learning, you know, basic science skills and memorizing a ton of science facts. And then at the end of the second year, you take this test, you know, this big multiple choice test. I mean, I think some of that hopefully is going to be looked at, and people are going to ask, you know, how do we make the early part of training to be a doctor more aligned with the realities of some of the public health crises and some of these situations that may unfortunately become more prevalent. So, you know, what does that mean? That means introducing potentially other topics besides basic science into the curriculum, public health concepts, public health training, basic understandings of things like epidemiology and population health, to better understand these big public health emergencies that happen, the COVID pandemic being obviously the biggest example we've had of one. There's going to need to really, I think, be an examination of how young medical students train, who they train with, right? It's still pretty much a medical student sitting in a classroom with other medical students, but increasingly moving more towards interprofessional training, having medical students training alongside nursing students, training alongside nurse practitioner students, for example, early on to develop more of a team mentality and to understand really how to deliver care within a team, because that's what you're seeing as a really important thing happening. For example, in these hospitals that are being overwhelmed right now, the ability to work together and to switch off roles to some extent. You know, doctors are doing things that nurses normally do because everybody has to pitch in. And then I think thinking about exposing some of our younger medical students during training, giving them more immersion in psychology, in social psychology, in understanding human thoughts and human emotions, and really learning more how to deal with that, both in terms of their patients and also in terms of themselves, right? Because we know in medical school, there's a lot of burnout. There's a lot of psychological distress that happens to people, the students taking it. And we need to be giving them even more exposure to things like building resilience for themselves and building the emotional component of what they're going to be doing. Because if we don't do that, we're producing doctors that when these crises hit may have to work harder to not get burned out and not get sort of emotionally overwhelmed by the situation.
Do you think that students, med students coming up now, or med students who are just about to take on the school and are living through this, are going to start demanding different things from their school, from their education?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you're already reading a lot. You know, I've read a lot of stories from young doctors and from older doctors who are sort of working at these ground zeros in New York City and elsewhere, and sort of what they've had to go through and what their training prepared them for and what it didn't. And I think having lived through this, a lot of them, they will be some of the change agents in terms of pushing, you know, not only medical schools, but also residency programs, the apprenticeship model. Well, once a student graduates from medical school and goes into residency programs, which are normally hospital-based, hopefully there'll be change agents that can push for, you know, hey, what do medical residents, regardless of what they're training to do, being a neurologist or being an internist, what do they need more exposure to in the hospital setting and need to learn more? So I certainly hope there'll be change agents. I also think they're going to maybe, you know, this is another issue, but it's related, is there may be a greater realization of how physicians in, need to band together more and need to band together more with other healthcare workers like nurses to sort of, even at a younger career stage, be able to collectively advocate for better treatment and better conditions, right? Because we see this issue of a shortage of personal protective equipment and just some of the things we've asked our doctors and nurses and health professionals to, the conditions we've asked them to work in during this crisis, and it's just not acceptable. And so I hope that coming out of this, there'll be more of an appreciation among doctors, young nurses, to actually collectively come together and demand from the organizations they work for, hey, you know, we're all for trying to do this kind of work and help in times of crisis, but we need to be fully prepared and we need to be given the resources we need.
We're seeing now how so many people in rural communities are kind of out on an island without any doctors nearby. Is virtual and telehealth going to be more a part of training?
Yes, absolutely, and it should be. I haven't always myself been the biggest fan of introducing that kind of virtual care too quickly into patient care, because I think you lose something without the interpersonal face-to-face human element in a lot of care delivery, particularly things like mental health care and primary care, chronic disease management. But at this point, you have doctor's offices closed all around the country. You have hospitals not doing elective surgeries. You're going to have a huge backlog of care that needs to be delivered once things start to open up again. And so medical students, medical residents, those in the training cycle right now should really, and moving forward, future students, this has to become now a regular part of their training. I think it's here to stay. I think this represents a tipping point for bringing telehealth more into medicine, particularly for primary care. And I think there's areas like many rural areas across the country, for example, that already don't have any kind of access to good care. They don't have doctors nearby. And so this is going to deliver to them, hopefully, better care over time. But it's not, the training system won't be able to absorb this overnight. But, you know, there's no doubt, like, medical students now should be doing rotations in their third and fourth year, right? They traditionally do clinical rotations where they go around to different parts of the hospital and different specialties. There should be a telehealth rotation now for every medical student. There should be big doses of telehealth medicine put into every residency program, regardless of your specialty. And I think you're probably going to see that moving forward. It's just a question of how quickly it will happen.
After a national crisis, people take action. We saw that after 9/11. So many people volunteered to go into the military. Do you think after this, and this is purely speculation at this point, that you're going to see a wave of people going into the medical field, either doctors or nurses?
That's a great question. I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of, like, what happens with sort of military recruitment in times when there's some sort of strife or event, you know, and you see this bump in people enrolling or enlisting, whether it's the National Guard or the military, I think you could see the same thing here, potentially. You could see a real uptick, at least temporarily, in high school students that want to go to college and study pre-med. You may see an uptick in college students who decide becoming a doctor, or not even a doctor, maybe a nurse practitioner or a nurse or a physician assistant, that this is something that not only has a bigger importance now, and everybody can see it because of the pandemic, but also is a sort of noble thing to do and to sort of commit to. So I do think you'll probably see a bump in medical school admissions and nursing school admissions. You know, how long that lasts is an interesting question. I mean, I think you also may see on the other end, you know, young people who say, you know, being a doctor looks really difficult. And I see how difficult it looks now with how doctors have had to deal with the COVID pandemic and doctors working for hospitals. And so maybe there may also be some young people that decide, you know what, this is incredibly challenging and difficult. And I see that the challenges these people faced when they were trying to do this work. And so would that deter some young people from actually taking the plunge? I don't know. But I do think we'll see, you know, initially maybe this rise in sort of medicine and nursing in these professions, as these are really desirable if you want to help society and make a difference.
Looking at it from the other end, there's probably a lot of doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals right now going, oh my God, I got to get out of this. I am totally burnt out.
Yeah, there's different groups of doctors, right, that will be experiencing different things based on the what they had to deal with during this crisis. So for the, you know, for doctors that were working in the hospital and working in hot spots around the country where there was a rise in cases quickly, and they, you know, everybody had to work in an intensive care and a critical care mode, this is going to be, you're going to see more behavioral health issues in this population, potentially people dealing with, you know, maybe some post-traumatic stress from it all, burnout. And these were workers, these were doctors that are already sort of suffering from high levels of burnout in their job. So there's that group, the ones that have really been dealing with the sick patients who've been coming at them in waves. And then there's, you know, the group of doctors that are out in the community, primary care doctors, maybe surgeons who have their own practices out in the community, specialists. And the trauma they're going through is, you know, they've had to close their offices. They've had to essentially sever their relationships with their patients temporarily, right, to stop the spread of the illness. And also because they just have not been able to conduct business as usual. And so they're also going to go through a withdrawal. And when things kick back up again, and everybody floods back into the system needing sort of the care they needed to be getting during these months when these offices were closed, the potential for being overwhelmed, heavy workloads, and again, more burnout on the part of those kinds of doctors, I think you're going to see a lag. I think you're going to see, you know, that group experience more of these negative psychological states a little bit further down the road. So we need to make sure we have enough supports available for doctors and nurses to be able to get them through what's going to be, I think, a rough year or two in the short term.